Hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Istanbul, Turkey, where Liverpool edged Chelsea 5-4 on penalty kicks in the first all-English UEFA Super Cup football match. Now, the annual UEFA Super Cup features the winners of the Champions League and Europa League tournaments. Liverpool's newly acquired Spanish goalkeeper, Adrian, made a crucial save with his leg to deny Tammy Abraham in the penalty kick shootout. At the post-match news conference, Liverpool's German manager, Jurgen Klopp, praised Adrian.
He played an incredible game. He had sensational saves. Both goalies had that. But maybe from Adrian, it's a bit more surprising because, without pretty much any preparation with having 15 minutes. I don't know when he played the last game for West Ham, to be honest. So it's a while ago. Being ready like he was ready tonight is incredible. And he's not only on the pitch a great person, so he showed me already that he's a proper personality in the dressing room as well. He was maybe louder than I was in halftime. I was not loud because I wanted to give some informations, but he was really on his toes, so, and that was good and it's important and helps us, and he deserves that. Of course, in penalty shoot he's always lucky, but the performance over the 120 minutes was incredible. Making the save for the penalty is the icing on the cake, and it's wonderful. I saw now one time that he could really grab his towel before he started celebrating. That's special as well. So he obviously quick in mind and knows what he wants to do. Helped us a lot, and he can be really proud of what he did tonight.
I think Senegalese star Sadio Mane also can be really proud of what he did in the UEFA Super Cup match in Istanbul. The Liverpool winger scored goals in the 48th and 95th minutes and was named man of the match.
I think, it was really important for us to win this trophy because the world is here to win. So, we know that it wasn't our best game, but it's normal. It's part of football. And I think sometimes you don't need to play 100% or to play to be physically 100% to win trophies. So I think, mentally we was here and we give everything until the end. I think, we deserve to win tonight, and we are really proud and very happy.
While Sadio Mane says Liverpool deserved to win, Chelsea manager Frank Lampard says he thinks his team was the better side.
Clearly for me, I felt we were the stronger team. Some bad luck at times and maybe bad finishing for us, which we need to be more clinical on. But my overall feeling from the game is one of pride in the team performance and happiness. And I don't like losing. I'm a terrible loser, and you should be. We are, as Chelsea, we want to win this game. But we were very unfortunate today, and I'm happy with the players. If that's a sign of what we can do this season and we will get better, then it's a really good sign.
Chelsea manager Frank Lampard speaking in Istanbul after his team's 5-4 loss to Liverpool on penalty kicks in the annual UEFA Super Cup match. Chelsea and Liverpool will now prepare for English Premier League matches this weekend. Chelsea is at home Sunday against Leicester City, And reigning European champion Liverpool has a road match Saturday against Southampton. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Kampala, where Uganda's boxing team, nicknamed the Bombers, have been training for the upcoming All-African Games in Morocco. Despite a shortage of resources, the Bombers say they're ready to fight for gold medals at Rabat 2019. And for the first time, Uganda will have female boxers trading punches at the continental competition. Magumi Davis Rakawinj tells us more from Kampala.
Left, right. Right, left, right. Double right. One, two. Yeah. Jab, jab, right. One, two. Yeah. One, two,
Female boxing trainer Masemuka Nkusi engages today the Bombers as the Uganda female boxing team is called in a sparring session at Rosetta Prison Gym, just a few meters away from Africa's biggest lake, Victoria. One of them is Jalia Nali. The 54 kilograms bantamweight fighter is one of the two Ugandan female boxers that will for the first time represent Uganda at the African Games competition.
I'm sure I'm going to do all my best to bring a medal to Uganda. And what I encourage my female boxers to do so hard that they can also make what we are doing.
Her sparring partner, Rebecca Mongi, will unfortunately not be part of the team traveling to Morocco. She says she was distraught when she was informed the decision that she won't represent at the game she ardently loves.
I came here and I learned very many things, like how to throw a punches, how to move, how to bow, those things. Yeah, I've learned a lot of things, so I was even ready to go there at Morocco to bring a gold medal, but bad luck, I'm not the one of the boxers which is going to Morocco.
Ali, hard punch on one, two, yeah, Abaka, Abaka, two, one, left,
Isaac Masembe fights in the bantamweight male category. Masembe says we fight for gold and make his colleagues who didn't represent proud.
They didn't choose us because they liked us personally. They chose us because they knew that we are good. We are good in what we are doing, and we prepared very good, very well. My main strength is my right hand. When my right hand lands on you, I don't think that you can stay up.
Masembe is grateful to have made it out of the more than 350 fighters that have been training for close to 3 months and passed various trials. Zebra Senyange, popularly known as Mando, the team manager, says he was disappointed when he was informed that he will only take 8 boxers at the Contendo event.
There's no way you're going to determine on the 49 kg with the 91 who is going to be better, because they will not box. You never know. These are medals. You can refuse to take the lightweight, the small weight, and then he's the one who's going to make a draw to the finals in a medal bracket. So it was just tricky, and it's your testing, and it makes disappointments in the camp. Boys will look at you like, coach left me out, the manager left me out, and it's not good, really.
Nevertheless, Mando, the former middleweight boxer who captained the national team at the All African Games in Maputo, Mozambique, in 2011, says the Bombers will win the medals in both boys and female categories. Masemuka Nkusi agrees. She says what boys can do, girls can even do it better.
AIBA has given the girls the opportunity, most girls the opportunity to go and box, because they have seen girls can make it. And right now, if girls train more, I know they will bring medals in Uganda.
AIBA stands for the International Boxing Association, a sports organization that organizes amateur boxing competitions.
For free throw.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Magume, Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume, and good luck to the Bombers in Rabat. The 12th All-African Games are scheduled to begin Monday, August 19th in Morocco, and they'll go through August 31st. The African Games will feature competition in boxing and 25 other sports. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
A top National Basketball Association executive is continuing his efforts to grow the sport in Africa by recently holding a developmental camp in Cameroon. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson has that story as well as a package of tennis news.
Toronto Raptors president Masai Ujiri visited Cameroon to host a youth basketball camp.
There's so much talent in Africa. We have to be able to help this talent, groom this talent, and that's by increasing facilities, help with coaching, infrastructure. We have to be disciplined on the continent.
Following his team's first National Basketball Association championship, the English-born Nigerian is also on the lookout for some talent, with a number of African stars currently making their mark in the NBA.
We've seen now that how kids can come out of here, kids like Joel Embiid and Pascal Siakam can come out of places like this and be great. And there's no reason why we can't inspire to be better on this continent.
I want to hear. Eyes up.
Ujiri has previously held camps in Rwanda, Kenya, and Nigeria with the aim of bringing young people together through sports values such as tolerance, respect for gender, and work ethic. He says basketball opens many opportunities.
We're not all going to end up being basketball players. Some of us are going to end up being coaches, working basketball in other areas. We can be sports journalists, we can be sports lawyers, we can be sports doctors, we can be sports trainers. There are so many things that you can do. And we have to teach these kids as they use basketball as a path. These opportunities can come their way with education.
Rafa did it very well. So
Rafael Nadal did do very well, winning in Montreal with a 6-3, 6-love win in the final against Daniil Medvedev.
I played a solid match, my best match of the week so far, without a doubt. I did a lot of things well, changing directions, changing rhythms during the point. I played some high balls, then changed it down the line. I think I played smart because I had a good feeling on the ball. If not, you cannot.
Nadal says he got off to a good start in his first successful defense of a hard court title.
Some very long rallies and For me personally, it was important to start the match in a good shape, you know, because he came to that match playing so well during the whole event, playing a lot of matches the last weeks. So for me, it was a little different story, you know. I only played 3 matches on hard before this one, and playing against a big opponent like him, for me, was important at the beginning of the match.
Medvedev knew he was facing one of the all-time best in the 33-year-old Nadal.
Well, I played Roger 2 times, Novak 4 times, so I knew how it's going to be, and I was kind of ready for it. Then didn't manage to probably show my best tennis, but at the same time, Rafa was, I think, incredible today.
Medvedev had a plan.
My tactic was to not go and give him that much time, to try to play deep, to not give him easy shots. And it was kind of working in the beginning of the match, but then I completely lost the momentum, and it was only him controlling the play, controlling the game. Even a few moments in the match, I tried to kind of not come back, but at least win one game and maybe see how it goes. The moment I was close, he just played too good, and that's how it went.
Nadal wasn't taking his less experienced opponent lightly.
Of course, I cannot be 100% calm, knowing that I'm going to win the match. And probably for that reason, I achieved all the things that I achieved, you know, because I am never too confident. I always respect every situation and every opponent, and that's why I am always putting my 100% attention.
Medvedev felt he had one of his best career performances.
Yeah, I think it's one of 2 best tournaments I've played in my life. One was basically, of course, Tokyo, the only ATP 500 I won at this moment, and of course, to be in the final of Masters 1000, I mean, it's an amazing achievement for me at this moment. Of course, I always say this, if you don't win the tournament, you are always disappointed. I think even if you lose in the final of Grand Slam, you will be disappointed. But of course, I'm happy to be in this final, and I will try to do better next time.
Nadal has now won the Montreal event 5 times to push his record to 53 so-called big titles, a combination of 18 Grand Slam championships and a record-extending 35 ATP Masters 1000 titles. He is just one big title from matching Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer.
They're very passionate about tennis. I always felt that when I have been playing here, I have been always an unbelievable atmosphere out there, full crowd, and that's so important for our sport, no? And for me personally, go around the world and see when I'm playing, see the court full is a big personal satisfaction.
Andy Murray of Britain tried his luck in his first singles match since hip surgery.
I don't really know what I was expecting, to be honest. I think I did okay. I think, you know, you also have to be somewhat realistic.
He felt a bit off after a 7-month absence from singles tennis.
Physically, you know, my legs were a little bit heavy at the end of the match in comparison to maybe what they normally would be if you played, you know, a bunch.
Murray lost his first round match against Frenchman Richard Gasquet at the Cincinnati Masters, 6-4, 6-4.
Richard uses all of the angles on the court. He's one of the best at doing that, so I was having to move quite a lot laterally, and I didn't move forwards particularly well. Like when he drop shotted, there was a few times I just didn't even run for the ball, didn't react to it, and that's nothing to do with, you know, my hip. That's just me not running for a ball, and I could have, which I did do that better at the end of the match.
Murray is in no hurry.
I haven't played many matches in the last 18 months really, so it's going to take time.
He confirmed he will not play singles at the forthcoming U.S. Open.
I'm not going to play the U.S. Open singles. They were announcing the wild cards today. I know if I would have taken the wild card and then not played, then I would have been getting all of the questions about my hip and why has he turned it down? Is something wrong? What's the problem? And, you know, that didn't feel right to me.
The 32-year-old Murray was very emotional last year when he faced the prospect of never playing tennis again.
Tennis is, you know, something that I've done my whole life, so it's something that is kind of all I've known as an adult. You know, I wasn't able to do that and didn't know whether I was going to be able to come back and play. That was, you know, that was hard. But actually, once I got rid of the pain, I realized that, you know, I didn't need tennis. Tennis wasn't the most important thing for me.
The first round loss tells Murray he's actually okay.
You know, I thought it maybe would have changed my perspective completely on things, but I'm sitting here disappointed, which I think is probably a good thing if I want to get back to playing at a high level.
In that first phase, it is incredibly painful to a point where I don't get out of bed.
Also facing down pain was American Serena Williams. Back spasms forced her out of the Rogers Cup final in Toronto.
It started yesterday in my match. It just got worse. It's just my whole back just completely spasmed, and to a point where I couldn't sleep and I couldn't really move. And so I was just trying to figure out, how do you play a match where you have no rotation?
The 23-time Grand Slam champion made it through four games of the opening set, but was forced to retire from the match when the pain became too much.
I've had these awful spasms a lot in my career, actually, and they're incredibly painful. But, you know, it goes away after like 24, 36, maybe 48 hours, like clockwork.
Williams' opponent, 19-year-old Bianca Andreescu, took the title in front of the hometown crowd. But instead of immediately celebrating, the Canadian rushed to comfort Williams, who was visibly upset on the sideline.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. Serena Williams also withdrew from this week's Cincinnati Masters tournament in Ohio, citing those same back spasms. The 37-year-old Williams is hoping her back feels better, and she's at full strength for the start of the U.S. Open, which begins August 26th in New York. Now, if Serena wins the U.S. Open, she'll tie the Australian Margaret Court's all-time record of 24 major titles. In last year's U.S. Open women's singles final, Serena Williams lost to Japan's Naomi Osaka in a match that was overshadowed by Serena's controversial argument with Portuguese tennis umpire Carlos Ramos. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More tennis news. 2019 Wimbledon champion Simona Halep had no problems with her left Achilles Wednesday as she rallied to beat Russia's Ekaterina Alexandrova in three sets at the Cincinnati Masters tournament. The final score, 3-6, 7-5, and 6-4. The win came 1 week after Halep dropped out of the Rogers Cup quarterfinals in Canada because of that Achilles injury. In more results from the Cincinnati event, top-seeded Ashley Barty, the 2019 French Open winner, beat veteran Russian star Maria Sharapova 6-4 and 6-1, and second-seeded Naomi Osaka, who I mentioned earlier, beat Alexandra Sasnovich of Belarus in three sets. In pro boxing, world heavyweight champion Andy Ruiz is balking at fighting a rematch against Anthony Joshua in Saudi Arabia. Ruiz told fans during a live chat that he's not planning on having the fight in Saudi Arabia, as announced by Joshua's promoter, Eddie Hearn.
There was a lot of talk about where this fight would be held. Would it be back at Madison Square Garden? Would it be at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff? The whole world will be watching this fight on December 7th, and I know that Saudi Arabia will be doing everything they can to make sure that this is an event that takes your breath away.
Is Eddie Hearn just blowing hot air about the Ruiz-Joshua rematch taking place in Saudi Arabia? Andy Ruiz says the rematch will be on his terms. He says, and I quote, AJ, he's scared. Hell yeah. Why do you think he's over there trying to make the fight in Saudi Arabia? For his part, Eddie Hearn told Sky Sports that Andy Ruiz absolutely will be fighting in Saudi Arabia. Eddie Hearn says, and I quote, his choice is to have a legal battle that could put him out of boxing for years or to defend his belts for a lot of money against a guy he has already beaten. There isn't any doubt he will take the fight. Eddie Hearn says the contract for the rematch was signed at the first time Ruiz was inked for the first fight with Joshua. Andy Ruiz, a big upset winner over AJ. We gotta wait and see where that rematch will take place. And that wraps up the August 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Aiden Utko. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
At the center of the Milky Way, 26,000 light-years away, lies a supermassive black hole named Sagittarius A star. Astronomers have calculated the giant black hole has a mass equal to about 4 million suns and stretches across a distance of 44 million kilometers. According to his Twitter posts, Tuan Do, an astronomer at UCLA, and a team of colleagues were observing the black hole in the infrared wavelength this past May when they noticed it got 75 times brighter over a 2-hour period. In a follow-up tweet, the astronomer suggests that since the black hole itself doesn't produce light, the variations in brightness are coming from the light produced by hot gas falling towards the black hole, and that the increased activity is probably related to changes in the flow of gas. Astronomers say further observations may provide clues as to what is causing the black hole's increased brightness. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it, yeah. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, historically black colleges and universities in the United States have also educated prominent Africans, like the founding presidents of Nigeria, Ghana, and Malawi. The role of historically black colleges and universities on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC.